Amen. Oh, wow. I've sang that last song 3 times now, and it gets better every time. Did you listen to the words? From the beginning to the end, there is nothing but a clearest presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. From the beginning to the end in the words of that song. That is just incredible. Well, good morning. I'm glad you're here. If you came this morning expecting to see Pastor Keith, yes. That was awesome. Yeah, I don't know why we keep getting confused for looking similar to each other. I don't see it at all. But Keith has asked me to come and speak to you this morning, and I'm so excited to be able to bring the message and the good news of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm going to talk about choices here at the beginning. We've just come through the Thanksgiving season. I hope you had a wonderful, blessed time with your family. I made some choices this week. Some were good. Some were not so good. You're probably thinking that the not good choices was all the food you ate. And that's actually not it. I got and accepted an invitation to come and hang out with Tony and Keith and his family and do a little football game, right, on the back lawn on Thursday before we ate. That was not the right choice. For those of you that know me, I'm not a huge sports guy, okay? And I think they knew that subconsciously. Because as we got together and prepared to play, I was told to go long. That was it. That's all I did. I just went long, all done. So I ran out and I walked back, okay? And the consequences of that decision to come and play football, first off, that was the first time I'd ever done anything like that. Our family, when we got together, we played ultimate. We did the Frisbee one. I'd never played like a pickup football game like that. That was just weird. The consequences of that poor decision came about 24 hours later, right? Because it's Friday night. I'm sitting on the couch, still recovering, and I go to stand up. And every joint from my big toe to my lower back cracked. And my wife looks over at me and she's like, "What was that?" I said, "That's the consequences of going long." That was rough. That was brutal. Anyway, I had a great time. I really appreciate the invitation. Next year, no. I'm just going to stay home and eat. My name's Jim, and I'm so glad to be able to be here with you this morning. I've been attending Grace for about 2 years now. I live here in Nampa with my wife. I am pleasure to be on the board here at Grace, small life group leader, and an opportunity to just come and present the gospel with you today. In my daily life, I'm a high school principal at Nampa Christian High School, and I love doing that. And in fact, there are a number, more in the last service, but there are a number of my students that are actually here. There's a large number of students that come to Nampa Christian. So for to you, my students, you will understand fully what I'm about to say, right? Welcome, I'm glad you're here. This is a time when Mr. E gets to take off his principal hat and put on his pastor hat. That's something I get to say to my kids all the time. It's so wonderful working at Nampa Christian. But I'm so glad to be able to bring the message that God has given me for us today. If you would open your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. We are in the first Sunday of the season of Advent. And I don't know about you, but I really love the concept behind the season of Advent, right? And if you're not following with me, let me kind of catch you up here a little bit. And why I like this term Advent and why I think it's so important that we're going to kind of explore this today within the context of our verse. And that is this. You see, all throughout the Old Testament, as I've been doing my Bible study in morning time, I'm reading again through the Old Testament, and I've come through Deuteronomy, Joshua, and I finished up Joshua. I'm just starting to move into Judges a little bit. And there's something that just keeps popping out to me through the reading of those verses. And when Moses was bringing the Israelites out of Egypt, before they decided to go on a little 40-year vacation in the desert, you know, Palm Springs or whatever, I don't know, and before they moved into battle, before they crossed the Jordan, before they did anything preparing to go, God always said to Moses and to Joshua, tell the Israelites to prepare their hearts for whatever is coming next, right? Ladies and gentlemen, that's the season of Advent. That's what we're here for. We're here to prepare our hearts for the upcoming season. And I think sometimes, all too often, we may miss exactly what we're preparing our hearts for. See, we think, well, preparing is maybe putting up the Christmas lights or decorating the Christmas tree or taking your life in your own hands and going out shopping on Black Friday or whatever that may be for you. But today, I want to take an opportunity and I want us to take a look at what it means. Our objective is to prepare our hearts for the Christmas season. And we're going to do that by examining several different character traits of Christ. So if you're with me in Isaiah chapter 9, would you read along to yourself as I read out loud verses 6 and 7. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." Wow, what an incredible promise. Long before Jesus came to a little manger in Bethlehem, we see a promise of the Messiah preparing your hearts for the coming season of Advent. Look into that first couple lines. "For to us a child is born and to us a son is given." You know what this tells me? I love the word child, right? Because we're saying that God in human form, a child, physical presence, has come down. God incarnate is born. I love that. It's a promise to me that the Jesus that I serve is fully human. Knowing that everything that I struggle with in my life, the hard times that I go through, temptations, sin, he gets it, right? He's been part of it. He understands it because he himself was fully human. But on the other side of that, a son was given, right? A son of God. Talking about Christ and his divinity, all power, all glory, all knowledge, all the omnis that we know Jesus to be. We have this juxtaposition of a fully man yet fully God. And then we know that term as Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. This is who we are preparing our hearts for as we move into this season. The verse continues on in chapter 6 at the second half and says, "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." So who are we preparing our hearts for? Who is this Jesus character? He is a Wonderful Counselor. Go and break down the term and the words Wonderful Counselor into the original Hebrew. And the word wonderful takes on a different meaning, I think, than what we know wonderful. You know, we go outside and we see something that amazes us and we're like, wow, that's wonderful. That's great. That's awesome. That's fantastic. You know, we have that term. But if you go back in the Hebrew, the term wonderful means beyond understanding. The inability to comprehend something. When I use the word wonderful, I'm looking out there and I'm seeing it. I'm understanding what's going on, and I call that wonderful. But that's not the right word. Wonderful is this concept of being beyond understanding. So here we have a wonderful, beyond understanding counselor, an advisor, a purpose giver. Jesus is our counselor. He's someone that, now we can go into, gives us our purpose, right? We have counselors in our world. We have people we seek advice from, give us advice. We need some help so we can see a counselor, someone that helps us along. And so Jesus is our counselor that helps us, that is beyond understanding, our wonderful counselor. When we come to God, or when we come to Jesus, we see that he fits this role of wonderful counselor so perfectly. Why? Because look at the example that Christ lived here on earth. Jesus did not come for people of high position, right? He came to earth and he showed up for people with problems. Look at who he interacted with, right? Tax collectors, sinners, people that are sick and diseased. These are the people that he came to provide for as a counselor. He came for these people. There's three questions I want you to ask yourself this morning when we take a look at this quality of Jesus as a wonderful counselor, right? Number one, are you willing to be completely honest about your problems? If you're seeking counseling, are you willing to be completely honest about your problems, about the things that are troubling you in your life? Are you willing to be completely honest? Because, ladies and gentlemen, you will not begin the process of healing until everything gets out on the table. If you're going to hold something back, if you're going to keep something in reserve that's yours, the healing process cannot fully begin. Jesus needs us to be honest and open about our issues fully, because that's when healing begins. Secondly, he asks us, do you really want to be healed? Do you really want to be healed? In John chapter 5, Jesus is walking along with his buddies. He comes up to the pool, and there's a paralytic laying there, right? It's really interesting, this conversation between these guys. The paralytic looks up at Jesus and says, you know, hey, can you give me a hand here? And Jesus didn't just touch him on the head and heal him. He began with a question. He looks at him and says, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? And he looks up and says, you know, if you are willing, then so am I. But do you want to be healed? Are you willing to receive the healing that God will give you? Sometimes, some people, I don't think are there. I think people kind of enjoy their problems, kind of hang on to them a little bit, and say, you know, boy, I sure wish I could get healed from this, or I didn't have to go through this, and they make a big to-do about it. But secretly inside, they don't want healing. They don't want to be cured. They would rather spend their time just talking about it than seeking after it. So number one, are you willing to be completely honest about your problems? Do you actually want to be healed? And thirdly, are you willing to do what God says? Do you trust him enough in the healing that you're willing to do what he says? This was never more evident in my life as I grew up through my early into mid-20s when I made some choices to walk away from the truth that I knew. See, I was born and raised in a Christian home with loving Christian parents. And when I was 6, I knelt at the side of my bed with my mom, and I asked Christ into my heart. I know that to be a fact, and on that day, I began my faith journey. But my faith journey took a detour. And through the grace and the love of God, I was able to get back on track. It's a phenomenal story. I don't have time, but I'd love to tell you someday if you're interested. I came back into a loving, right relationship with God, and I began to continue on my faith journey. And then I moved out of my parents' home. I was teaching in Marcing, in a small town. just west of here. I had my Bible study in the morning, and it was at that moment in my life when I call it my second working of grace. The moment which I finally fully met Jesus at the foot of the cross. I finally fully bridged the gap. Ravi Zacharias calls it the largest distance in the world is the distance between your head and your heart. But I bridged that gap this morning as I was so overwhelmed by the truth of the scripture of what I was reading that I dropped to my knees and I said, "Dear Jesus, I get it. I finally get it. It's taken me 20 plus years, but I understand now fully what you did for me by dying on the cross. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, I am willing to do what you want of me. Take me, make me, mold me, use me in any way that you want." And I said that prayer on my knees at my house at that time with full and complete honesty. Be careful, ladies and gentlemen, if you say that prayer with a complete honesty, God will take you and he will use you in incredible ways. He said, "I will take you and you're going to preach. Yeah, I'm going to send you out and you are going to start telling people about Jesus," because although I was a Christian, I had spent 20 some odd years of my life never speaking about Jesus. And now it brings me the greatest passion of my life to be able to speak about who Christ is and what he did in my life. See, I was willing at that moment to do what God said because I answered all the questions. I was completely honest with my problems. I wanted to be healed. And I was willing to do what God says. That is the role of Jesus as wonderful counselor. He'll do this for you too. Next is mighty God. Ooh, this one's fun. In the Hebrew, El Gibor. El God, Gibor, strength and might. The connotation of the word here is a military one, right? A mighty God. He's a military. He's a hero in battle. He's one who's willing to lay down his life. He's one that is willing to enter our battles and bring victory. And the greatest thing about it is that I don't have to sit back and coast because he goes before me and clears the path, right? He's not falling behind me, letting me take the brunt of everything. He's walking right beside me. He says, "I'll be here. I'll walk this journey with you. I'm going to enter battle with you. Yeah, there's going to be bumps. There's going to be bruises, but I'm right here." And the best thing is, he always wins. How amazing would it be to be able to be guaranteed a victory in any problem that you go through in life? Right? I admitted before we started that I'm not much of a sports guy. As I was prepping, I thought it'd be very appropriate to think about a sports analogy, like kind of like insert sports analogy here. Okay, here's the best thing I can come up with. I hate the struggle of not knowing who's going to win in a sports competition. I hate it. I've hated it for as long as I can remember. I don't enjoy that at all. In fact, when the Olympics are on, and they're overseas, I know that the sport has already happened. So you know what I do? In order for me to enjoy the competition, I Google who wins. So, last time, the most important sport in the Winter Olympics, in my opinion, was coming on, and I knew what I was in for, the stress of not knowing who was going to win, right? The curling competition. Don't knock it until you've tried. Curling's awesome. I don't like that stress of not knowing who's going to win. It tears me apart inside. I don't like that at all. So what I do is I try to mitigate that in any way that I can. Look, if I lost points in your eyes, I'm okay with that. I'm feeling pretty good. Ladies and gentlemen, check it out. With Christ on my side, with my mighty God, the one who walks with me in power into every battle that I go, I don't have to Google who wins. I've read who wins in the book. And guess what? It's a resounding victory over and over and over again. Amen? That is awesome. I love that. I don't have to sit in my life stressed, not knowing what's going to happen, where I'm going to end up, what's it going to be like, worried about who's going to win the current battle, because I know that if God is walking beside me, I will come out victorious. That's right. What has Christ conquered? He's conquered nature. He's conquered disease. He's conquered demons. He's conquered sin. And today, I stand before you as witness that he has conquered death. And you can have that promise. This is the type of guy you're preparing your hearts for this month. This guy that's never lost a battle. Jesus is our everlasting Father, the next quality that we see here. I don't know if you guys are as weird as I am. I do this every once in a while. I like to try to comprehend the incomprehensible. There's not much to do when you're driving by yourself in the car. Have you ever sat in meditation and tried to ponder this concept of everlasting? Never having a beginning. Try that sometime. Try to sit down and think of nothing ever beginning. You know what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, but spend some serious time on it. Don't start now, because I really want you to pay attention to what I'm going to say. Okay? But spend some time. And then switch it over and think about something that never ends. That's who God is. That's who Christ is. Who Jesus, the person. He's everlasting. Ladies and gentlemen, he's also a father. And if there's anything my 20 plus years in education have taught and shown me, is that our earthly fathers can sometimes be the cause of the greatest amount of pain in our lives. I've seen it time and time again. I've seen it destroy families. I've seen it destroy kids. It's horrible. But Jesus is our everlasting Father. He, in himself, is everything, everything that a father should be. And we have that promise. What is he? What is he? He's the only one. Incidentally, I'm going to blow through a number of verses here. If you try to write them down, you're not going to keep up. Listen only for the reference if you want to take notes. But listen to the qualities of Jesus as a father here, right? He's the only one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, it says, "Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom that we live." Jesus is our protector as a father. Psalm 68:5, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God. He's our giver. Ephesians 1:3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He's compassionate. Psalm 103, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those that fear him. He's our comforter. 2 Corinthians 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. He's our discipliner. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. Do not despise the Lord's discipline, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father. Oh, boy, that's not fun. But a good father, a good, good father disciplines those that he loves. He's our provider in Matthew 6. It says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more valuable than they? And finally, this is my favorite one. He's an adopter. Romans 8:15, but you received a spirit of adoption as sons, by who we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. These are the qualities of Jesus that makes him a father. We want to be preparing our hearts for this. Right? This is so awesome. Jesus is, he's the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the only reason that we can truly live peacefully with God. Jesus is the only reason that we can truly live peacefully with God. It's because he's restored the relationship. See, ladies and gentlemen, when we were born, that relationship was broken between our Creator and us. A relationship that was broken because of sin that's in the world. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. See, death was everywhere. Sin was everywhere. This is who we are. That relationship between our Creator and us was broken. And it was only through Jesus that restoration of that relationship was provided, because it continues in Romans. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we now have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Jesus provided the restoration, the ability for us to reconnect and renew the relationship that had been lost. Jesus is our Prince of Peace because we now get to walk a life with him. Man, life sure would be easy and grand if we accepted Jesus into our heart and that was it. Check, done. No. We now get to live and walk a life with him. And I'm here to tell you, take my word for this, this is the best walk ever. Yeah, it's not free from pain. It's not free from difficulty. You're going to experience hard, rough times, but it's the best one you'll ever have. You get to have a faith journey. I love that term, faith journey, right? It has this beginning. I'm coming, you know, when Christ comes again, but along the way, I'm going to journey. There's going to be good times. There's going to be tough times, happy times, sad times. It's all going to be there. It's all part of that experience, but I get to walk this journey, because I know that because my relationship's been restored, I'm not walking a journey in vain, or I'm not walking a journey that I don't know what's going to end up or where it's going to be. Jesus provides me the opportunity to live a life that is better than all of the other options out there. And because of that, I have the assurance of eternal life. Ecclesiastes 3 talks about God has placed eternity into the hearts of man. This is true. God, who in his nature is eternal, is our creator, created us in his image. Therefore, as his creations, guess what? We have part of our nature and who we are. We have this concept of eternity, this concept of a life of wanting to live forever. And our world and our culture today says, this is how you do it. And if you look out there, it's messed up. People are searching everywhere, trying to fill the answer or find the answer to this eternal question that they have inside of them. They don't know where it's at. They don't know what's going on. Back in the early 2000s, late 90s, I don't know the time, I should have looked it up. There's a Christian group called Plum, and they had a song that I just love, and it has stuck with me from the moment I heard it. There's a God-sized hole in all of us. I'd sing it for you, but God has strictly forbidden me from singing in church. There's a God-shaped hole, a God-sized hole in all of us. And the song goes on to talk about how we fill that. It's true. We have eternity in our being and in our heart, and we are out there trying to fill it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to declare to you today, I know how to fill that hole. It's through the person of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, so that we can have and live in eternity with him. And we can be assured. The Bible talks about that and tells us we are assured of an eternity with Jesus Christ. No questions. No questions. You know, if you're here this morning, within the sound of my voice, and what I'm talking about here may be starting to make sense for you for the first time, I would really love to chat with you. Because it is only through the person of Jesus that we can find this assurance of salvation, that we can fill that hole, that we can restore the broken relationship that, if you were to be honest with yourself, you know you have. If you have never accepted Christ into your life, if you have never begun your faith journey, I would love to talk to you and with you and lead you, and maybe, just maybe, today's the day that you begin that faith journey. If you're here this morning and you're listening and you have already committed to a life of Christ, you've already begun your faith journey, then I challenge you, as we move into this Christmas season, yeah, there's lots of lights and lots of things to be distracted of, but prepare your hearts. Get your heart ready for what's to come for this season as we prepare our hearts for Advent in this Christmas season. Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, it will change your view of what the next few weeks, month is going to look like if this becomes your focus. It will absolutely change your view on the season. And so I would commend that to you this morning. Let's close in prayer. Our gracious Father in heaven, Lord, the promise that you gave us so long ago in the book of Isaiah was a promise that we now know was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And as we move into this season of Advent, as we prepare and begin this Christmas season, Lord, I would pray that each of us are challenged to learn more about you, to prepare our hearts, for the season, for your coming, to celebrate the coming, and then, God, to ultimately prepare our hearts for the time when you will come back again and take us to begin our eternity with you forever in heaven. God, I am in awe of you this morning. I'm so grateful for all that you have given us. We thank you for these promises in your precious and holy name. Amen.